Anybody out there have a car like this? Just don't look in the parking lot of my car when you go out today, please. We are looking today again in the book of Romans. For those of you that are visiting with us today, we've been in a series now for several months from the book of Romans, and most of the sermons that I've been preaching have come out of Romans, either directly or indirectly. Romans about a subject that is very real in the church today, as it was in the first century. Paul addresses a subject, an issue in the second chapter of Romans that I want to talk about this morning because I believe that it is as real today, probably as real or more real for us today in the church as it was to Paul in the first century. It was a very real issue. The Apostle Paul wrestled with what genuine Christian faith was. He wrote in Romans about the difference between an outward appearance of godliness and an inward spirit or an inward genuineness of being close to God. An inward spirit that is clean and loves God. This morning I want to direct us for a few minutes to think about the difference between what's on the outside and what's on the inside. I want to invite you to turn to Romans chapter 2, and we're going to read two verses as a text, and then I'm going to read some other scriptures as well this morning. Romans chapter 2, beginning reading at verse 28. The words also for this scripture will be on the screen. Romans chapter 2, verse 28. A man is not a Jew if he is only one outwardly, nor circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a man is a Jew if he is one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a man's praise is not from men, but from God. I'm reminded this morning that we are not a Christian if we're only a Christian outwardly. God cares deeply about the outward appearance and who we are on the outside and the external influences in our lives and those things that people can see about us and how we live out our faith. Those things are very important to God, but we're also told in the Scripture that even more important is what's on the inside. This morning I want you to think about for a few minutes about what's on the inside of your heart and your spirit. I believe that the Apostle Paul was wrestling with, as he was writing to the church at Rome, this sense in the early church in the first century of a lot of people who professed one thing on the outside, but they didn't live it out in their hearts and their spirits 7 days a week and 24 hours a day. Paul was reacting here to a formalism of some people. They said they were Jews. Other people said they were believers in Jesus. They claimed certain things, but in their hearts, they were not what they said that they were. Paul saw it from many of the Jews. They claimed to be Jews because they were born a Jew, or they lived in Israel, or their parents were Jews, or they kind of live in a Jewish community, a culture of Judaism, and so they believed that they were right with God. And Paul said that just because you live in that community and you were born into a Jewish family, that isn't what makes you a Jew in your heart. And also he would say to Christians, Just because you're born into a Christian family, just because you attend a Christian church, because your parents are Christian, because you kind of look like a Christian, maybe you come to church on Sunday morning, that isn't what makes you a Christian. What's important is what's going on inside your heart, in the deepest part of your life. Paul saw it with both the Jews and the Christians. There have always been, Paul knows, there have always been pretenders about faith in every religion. In every part of the Bible, we have stories and examples of genuine faith and people that lived it out and deeply honored God in the deepest places of their hearts. And there's examples of people who claim to love God, and they were on the surface godly people, but underneath the surface they were not. They were pretenders. They were less than genuine. There are many people that claim to be Christians in our world today who are far from God and the Spirit within them, and their obedience to God and their willingness to make God the authority in their lives. A lot of people that claim to be Christians, but their actions and their spirit, their attitude on the inside is not pleasing to God. Some of them, you might think, they've been easily distracted. They've been easily misled. And though they have this pretense of Christianity and pretense of being a Christian, they really aren't living it deeply in their hearts. You may think of them as people who are less than genuine, maybe half-hearted. Maybe you would describe them as people that are sitting on the fence or fair-weather Christians. I'm thinking about people in the midst of the church or in Christianity in general who claim to be Christians, but it's pretty easy to see that there's something going on inside of them that is far from God. Sometimes with people, they get easily offended. They don't resolve their conflicts very well or biblically, and so they're always at odds with people, and they have this turmoil going on the inside of relationships. Sometimes they hold grudges. Sometimes they're judgmental. Sometimes they spend most of their time examining other people and who they are and what they're doing before God, and instead of looking on the inside. You know, Jesus told us that it's so much important when there's a conflict or a problem that we look at the beam in our own eye than looking at the faults of other people. Well, someone who is not a Christian inwardly is someone who's always looking on the outside at other people and finding fault and deciding who's right and who's wrong. Sometimes they undermine others, sometimes with their words, but always a self-centered spirit. Sometimes they make mountains out of molehills. For some people, I believe, who are in this category, they kind of live this pretense of a Christian life, but they're always struggling with people. Sometimes it's intentional. Sometimes people choose to do things that they know dishonor God, but oftentimes, when we're not right with God, we have an attitude on the inside that's not pleasing to God, and there's an immaturity there. And if we don't address it, if we don't give it to God, if we don't say, God, we want you to have authority over this area in our lives, then it continues to handicap us in relationships and in our influence. We're talking during these weeks about our influence in other people's lives and how we can be an influence for Christ. And what is it that people can see in us that helps them to know that we're genuine? Paul's talking about the difference between a genuine Christianity, a genuine relationship with God, and the pretense on the outside. We do know that the Holy Spirit wants to work in every heart and every life. God's Spirit was given to the Christian, given to the church, given to the believer so that He can guide us and frame us and change us and convict us and guide us. One of the functions of the Holy Spirit is to take us from where we're at and take us closer to the heart of God. And if we cooperate with that and we're willing to do that, God can take those faults that we have on the inside. He can take those attitudes that aren't quite right, those habits that have been there for a long time, those world views, those perspectives that really don't honor God, and He can change them and He can root them out. And so this morning we're talking about the importance of the inside of the heart and what God wants to do to cleanse us on the deepest parts of that we are. Sometimes Christians have what I'll call blind spots. We don't even realize maybe how we come across. We don't realize the impact that the way that we live and our attitude has on other people. Other people may well see that and notice, and they see those weaknesses inside. But unless we are willing to say, God, look deep in my heart, change what you want to, mold me, convict me, change me. Unless we come to that place of humility, then God can't do anything about the inside. God cannot clean up those things on the inside unless we give Him permission to do that. And we say, God, I am Yours. I belong to You. I ask You to take me and change me and cooperate with the Holy Spirit that wants to change us within. The truth is, God cares deeply about the innermost part of your attitude and your mind and your heart and your spirit. The inward is important to God. This scripture reminds us, a man is not a Jew if he is only one outwardly. No, a man is a Jew if he is one inwardly. It's the same with a Christian faith. The inward part of us is important to God. God sees your heart. God already understands what you feel, where you've been, where you struggle, where your weaknesses are. God already knows that. They'll think that, well, God just wants to think about the best part or strengths that you have in your heart and your life. The truth is, God sees every part of you. In fact, the Scriptures say that at the end of time, Jesus will discern and judge us according to every intention of the heart. He's able to see deeply into us, so there's no reason to feel like we can trick God. God already knows those places inside of us that need to be cleaned out. He knows that part of us that is not wholesome and not holy. He sees our hearts. He sees the deep places. He sees the weaknesses. And we also know that God wants to purify our hearts. God wants to bring purity to our spirits, not only to our actions and the things that people see, but even more importantly, God wants to bring holiness on the inside. He wants to purify our spirits on the inside, that struggle that goes on. God calls us to that inward holiness. God calls us to that cleansing on the inside. You know, the car was pretty nice on the outside, and the difference between that guy and me is the outside of my car doesn't look so nice. But God cares deeply about all that stuff that gets accumulated on the inside. Some of you can relate to that. I've seen some of your cars. I can relate to it. You know, sometimes we get a lot of junk on the inside, and it gets there one piece at a time. You know, one receipt, or one bag, or one can, or one this and one that. We think, well, we'll organize it later. We'll throw it away later. We'll take care of it later. And that to me is such a real picture of what can happen spiritually if we don't take care and take time to have God continuously clean us out on the inside. We can get clogged up. Things can get piled up. And pretty soon we look in there and we think, what a mess. What do we do with it? Well, the truth is God wants to work to purify you on the inside. God wants to send His Holy Spirit into your life to constantly drain it out and take it out, the junk, the stuff of the world, the problems around you, and He wants to keep you clean. He wants to keep you pure. He wants to keep everything out of there so that His Spirit can flow through you and have influence in other people's lives. As we talk about influence, one of these areas is paying attention to what's going on the inside so God can allow His Spirit to flow through you and to be a channel of His grace in somebody else's life. When you got all that stuff on the inside, then it doesn't allow the Holy Spirit to come through and to impact other people's lives. It's all caught up right where you're at. I want to say to you this morning, if you're here and you're a Christian and you want to live a godly life, if you want to know the heart of God, then pray that God will clean you out on the inside. Pray that your spirit will be humble before Him. And instead of making excuses, instead of saying, well, I just don't have time to deal with it, or it's not that big of a deal, or it's not that bad, the best thing to do is say, God, the inside's a mess, and I need Your Holy Spirit to clean it out. I need You to take out those things that aren't right. I need You to take out those attitudes that aren't wholesome. I need You to take out that stuff from my past and relationships that hurt me and hold me down and keep me from having joy in my heart. A lot of people, and this text to me goes right along with the text that talks about bitterness. A lot of people that are Christians that attend church and they call themselves Christians, and they got bitterness inside their car, and it affects them. They don't even realize how much it affects their relationships with other people and their ability to have joy in their hearts, because they're always struggling with this stuff on the inside that keeps them from being purified and clean. I want to say to you this morning, if you're struggling with junk on the inside, you need to call on the Holy Spirit to take it out for you. Because He wants to do that. He's willing to do that. He wants you to be clean on the inside. God calls you to a holiness on the inside. That's what a circumcised heart is, as Paul talks about circumcision of the heart. When we think about circumcision, we realize that to us it really doesn't have much of a meaning at all. We're just trying to figure out what it meant in the Old Testament. But you realize that in Paul's day and in the Old Testament, circumcision was so important. It had to do with people saying, I belong to God. I'm completely His. I'll be His person. Circumcision was a sign of the covenant relationship with God. And so Paul uses that symbol that would have been a part of his day. And he says, what God wants is to circumcise your heart. He wants your heart to be totally given to Him, to be totally offered to Him. Every part of you on the inside, when He says the heart. Now He's not talking about the Ten Commandments. He's not talking about the rules. He's not talking about what you wear to church. He's not talking about the smile you have on your face when you say everything's fine. He's talking about the deepest part of your life and where you struggle in your faith and where you struggle with doing what God calls you to do. All through the Bible, God calls us to have hearts that are clean before Him. That's not new to the New Testament. All along the way, God has called His people to seek to have a holy heart. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, we read these words, the Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants so that you may love Him with all of your heart and with your soul and live. You know, all along the way, God has wanted the hearts of His people. He gave the Ten Commandments and He gave the law kind of as an external guide to guide them. But that wasn't the end. That isn't the ultimate thing that God was giving to His people. He only gave that to them to help them to understand how much He wanted their hearts. He wanted them to be totally given to Him. That's what a circumcised heart is. Look at this verse. The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts. And then look at why. So that you may love Him. You see, when you love God with all that you are, then everything else will fall into place. When you love God with your whole being, then all the rules and all the external things and what you wear and where you go and how you talk, all those things will come into line to God's Holy Spirit, who will work in your heart and your life when you're circumcised before Him. But before you're circumcised, then God's not in control. So He wants your heart. If He has your heart, then He has all of you, and He can teach you about all those other things. He can lead you about what you do with your time and what you wear on your body and how you talk to people and how you deal with your habits. And all those are all the external things that God may want to deal with in your heart and your life. But first of all, He wants your heart, because if He has your heart, then you can love Him. And that, we're told, is the greatest commandment of all, is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. When God has your heart, then God can work in every area of your life. The purpose of your heart is that you will love Him. The ultimate test of the genuineness of your Christianity, the ultimate test of the outward and the inward, truly is, how much do you love God? How much do you love God? Do you love God with all of your heart? That's why the Bible tells us in so many times and so many ways to pay attention to the condition of your heart. Pay attention to the condition of your heart. So I want to say to you this morning, pay attention to the inside. Pay attention to those things more so probably, although the outside's important too. I'm not trying to minimize those external things that we do because we believe that's how God wants us to live. That's important too. But I want to tell you that oftentimes religious people, including Christians, oftentimes religious people pay a lot more attention to the outside than they do the inside. And they think that if they get the outside looking clean, then really that's pretty much it. But the truth is, God cares deeply about the inside as well. The Scripture tells us, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Above all else, guard your heart. You understand how important your mind and your attitude And what you take into your spirit is before God. Guard that. Put a fence around it. Take care of it. We think of how important our heart is. And, you know, I grew up and, you know, you hear somebody has a heart attack. Boy, that's a, you know, that's right away. Well, what happened? Did they get help? Are they okay? Are they going to make it? Many years ago, it was before I came to this church, my father had a heart problem. It was about 7 o'clock in the evening one night when I got a call, and the call was that my dad had gone to the doctor about 5 o'clock, and whatever was going on with him, they checked him out and they took him right to the hospital, and they were getting the team together to do open heart surgery. It was just right away. Whatever the symptoms were happened to my dad, it was immediate, and he was taken into surgery very quickly. So I drove, you know, I got in my car and drove 9 hours to Dayton and got there about 5 a.m. And they started at 5:30. I got there 15 minutes before they took my dad in for surgery. And they worked on my dad and did several bypasses, and he came out of it and he did great. He recovered quickly. They were amazed at how well my dad did. But I tell you what, those 9 hours I was driving, I was pretty worried about him. I knew the heart was important. Sometimes religious people neglect the heart. Sometimes they get a little more focused on the outward things, and they neglect the inward holiness of a heart that is humbled before God. We think that if we live a certain way, then we're fine with God. But the truth is, God wants us on the inside. Above all else, guard your heart. Joel chapter 2 verse 12 says, "Rend your hearts, not your garments." This prophet reminds us of religious people that used to tear their robes to show how unhappy they were, how sad or how horrified they were because of sin. It almost became a thing of show. You know, somebody would come into the temple and blaspheme, and the religious leaders would stand up and rip their clothes. How terrible it was. Joel says to them, don't rend your garments, rend your hearts. You want to be right before God, be humbled before Him in your heart and your spirit and your attitude, and say, God, I want You to change me and cleanse me. I'm reminded that God always knows where we're at. He always knows what we're struggling with. He always knows what we need. Reminded of the story in the book of Samuel about a young shepherd boy, and his name is David, and God had said that somebody from that family would be king. And so Jesse, the father, was instructed by the Samuel, the prophet, to bring all his sons in. And all of them came before Samuel. And Samuel looked at the first and thought, well, boy, he's pretty tall. And he looks strong and he's experienced and he's the oldest. And he must be the one. He's to be the king of Israel. And God says to the prophet Samuel, that's not the one. And the next brother comes in. And you know the story. They all come in and none of them are the one. And so finally Samuel says, Jesse, I don't understand. God said that there would be the king would come from this family. Aren't there any other sons? And Jesse said, well, they're just the shepherd boy out in the field. Bring him in. So they bring little David in. He's the one. See, God knows the potential also. He knows the future. He knows what He plans for you. But it's up to you to be available to come in and allow Him to fill your heart and your spirit with Him. This verse says, the Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. You see, God is looking at your heart today. It's not that God doesn't care about the outside things, but you see, the outside things can be right, but the inside can be wrong. But if the inside is right, the outside will be right too. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. What we need is the Holy Spirit of God speaking to us. Jesus is also talking about the difference between what is on the outside and what is on the inside. Jesus talked about it often in several of the Gospels, especially the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus seemed to hit that chord many times. Last year in October when we were in Jerusalem, Debbie and I and my dad were there for a week together, and I brought home lots of pictures and I showed you some pictures, but one of the places outside the city walls of Jerusalem, you have the old city up on the mount, the Temple Mount, and then you look down across, down the Kidron Valley and the Mount of Olives, and you see the Garden of Gethsemane and other places that are kind of revered sites for Jews and Christians and even Muslims. And then off to the side is this great large area of the Mount of Olives that's simply tombs. They're stone white. And their graves for Jewish people. And Jewish people from all over the world want to be buried there because they believe that if they're buried on the Mount of Olives facing Jerusalem, that at the resurrection they'll all be resurrected first. So they pay unbelievable amounts of money to be buried close to Jerusalem. And of course, over 2,000 years, more and more people, there are literally tens of thousands of graves there. And I understand that you pay unbelievable amounts of money, up to $1 million to be buried on the Mount of Olives today if you're a Jew and you want to be buried there. But I wonder if Jesus was looking out over those graves, some that were there in his day, and whitewashed stones. Matthew chapter 23, listen to the words of what Jesus said. I wonder if this is what Jesus was talking about when he said in Matthew chapter 23, "You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead man's bones." Dead man's bones. You see, Jesus took a picture from Jerusalem in his day, and he painted a picture here in Matthew chapter 23 that would help people to see the difference between a beautiful whitewashed tomb full of dead man's bones. Thousands and thousands and thousands of dead man's bones on the Mount of Olives there. In the same way, we can look good on the outside, but if our hearts aren't humbled on the inside, it can be full of dead man's poison and bones. Over 20 times, Jesus uses the word hypocrite in his teaching, mostly in the book of Matthew, as he does here. And he says, you're just like the hypocrites, like the whitewashed tombs. See, the word hypocrite in Greek meant to be an actor, meant somebody that plays the part of another. And when you're acting like a hypocrite, you're pretending to be something that you're not. You pretend to be a Christian, but you're not in your spirit. And Jesus said, be careful that you're not a hypocrite. Be careful that you're not somebody who is pretending to be one thing, but you really are something else. Pay attention to the heart. Pay attention to the deep part of who you are, because God cares deeply about it. And God cares deeply about you. This morning I want to invite you to pray about what's on the inside. Sometimes we think more about what's on the outside. Probably in my series here in the book of Romans, I've talked more about the outside than the inside. Both are important. But this morning I want you to take a few minutes and we're going to pray about what's on the inside and invite you to ask God if there's anything on the inside that He wants to clean out of your heart and your spirit.
Would you stand, please? That illustration also was Jesus in Matthew 23.
Matthew 23, Jesus gives several illustrations. One is the cup that is clean on the outside, but it's not on the inside. I wonder this morning if there's anything that God is speaking to me and you about. Anything inside that you know that God's Spirit has put His finger on this morning. Attitude. Way you treat somebody. Judgmental spirit. Self-centered spirit. Gossip spirit, dishonest spirit, integrity. God cares deeply about everything we are. So we come before Him and we say, God, identify, and You have the freedom
You have the right. I ask you to cleanse me today. Would you pray with me a prayer of cleansing? Dear Heavenly Father, today we thank you that you care deeply about the inside of our hearts. Lord God, you care about everything in our lives, and you care about what's going on that we can't always define and we don't always understand, and we're not always sure how it affects us and affects other people. But God, you know if there's a spirit there that's displeasing to you. This morning I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you, God, that you love us so much. I thank you, God, that you desire to pour out that Spirit in our lives, and you desire, God, to keep us clean, that a Holy Spirit can send through His power to remove anything, any stain, any blemish. Lord God, that keeps us from being holy before you. Lord God, it's not in our actions that we're perfect, but it's in that God's Spirit has free control to change anything that He wants to. Help us to have that attitude this morning. Lord God, if there's a sin on the inside that we know of, that just now, Father, we'll confess that to you and ask you to forgive us and to cleanse us. For if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord God, there may be some hidden sin here today. Maybe some people here today that have some things inside that they don't think anybody knows about, and maybe nobody else does, but you do. Maybe there's a tendency. Maybe there's an attitude. Maybe, God, there's something that's been done that needs restitution, forgiveness. God, you care deeply about that. You don't want pretenders. You don't want hypocrites. You don't want us to wear a mask, God. Be honest before you. Lord, help us to know how freeing that is. And we allow you to come in and change and take out what you want to, God. Help us to know that you're a great and a loving God. You can cleanse and make clean again. And as the psalmist writes, purge me with hyssop and I will clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Thank you today that you can make us whiter than snow. Thank you today for your grace. Thank you for your love. Lord God, may we be honest before you. May that be freeing for us and life-changing. Change our heart, O God. We love you today. We thank you for all that you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Would you be seated, please, for a moment? One of the people in my life that especially I've always seen as somebody with great integrity, and I don't know their heart any more than you do, but Billy Graham to me has always seemed like such a neat and genuine person. You can be seated, John, if you want to. Billy Graham has preached the gospel for a long time, and this year is his 95th birthday. In case you haven't been here and heard, he's invited Christians across America to invite people into their home, and their broadcast is going to be a 30-minute broadcast about his life and him calling people to salvation. It is one opportunity of many that God could lead in your life to have an influence in someone, and so I've challenged our church to be a part of that and to invite people into your home on that day. We have 2 months to go. I've challenged you to be praying about how God can use you, be praying about a number of people that you can build bridges of relationship with. For myself and my wife, Debbie, we are working very hard to build relationships with people in our neighborhood. We have 6 neighbors around us, and that's been our target. And we've been spending time talking to them and trying to connect with them and do things with them. And this coming Saturday, make or break, good or bad, is the day that we're having them all over. And so we appreciate your prayers for that. I don't know how many will be there, but so far all of them have indicated they're coming. And so we're looking forward to that and having an opportunity to try to build bridges of relationship with them. But however God gives you that opportunity, for some it will be neighbors, for some it will be co-workers, some will be family members, maybe one person, one-on-one. But I just urge you to pray that God will use you in your circle of influence, that your attitude will be right toward it, that you will want to be what God wants you to be. You see, it's not special, high-class people, Christians, that God wants to use to be a witness for Him. It's every believer. And God wants you to use your influence if you're a Christian today and your heart is right with Him. So I want to encourage you to keep praying. reach out to your friends and your neighbors and ask God to show you how. Pray for opportunity. I wanted to say thank you for those that shared life verses last week. We had a bunch Sunday morning and some Sunday night. And several people have talked about scriptures that are very meaningful to them, and that's been neat. And also, I want to encourage you to memorize scriptures. I know that that seems intimidating to some people, but if it's in your heart, then it will come out when you have an opportunity. And there is no substitute for working at it. I mean, if you really want to be a witness and you want to be able to give people God's word from your heart, I don't mean by rote memory, I mean from your heart, then you have to study. In fact, the scriptures say, study to show yourselves approved of God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The truth is, if you want to have influence in people's lives, you have to prepare yourself. God will use just everyday life, but when you prepare yourself before His Holy Spirit, God can use you to be an influence. And I want to encourage you as a Christian to give your heart to it, to know how important it is that you pray. And you prepare yourself to be a witness for Him. God can reach people. There's some people that you may be the only person in their life that can reach them if you're willing to do that and you want to do that. There is an insert in the bulletin. It's either on a brown or a blue page, and it lists 18 scriptures that I chose because they're meaningful to me. Some people say, well, I don't even know what verses I should be reading and studying. Well, I just gave you some. There's thousands in the Bible. You may have a whole other set that's important to you, but some people have asked me for some scriptures, so I've given that to you. It's in your bulletin. If that's helpful to you, great. If not, choose your own. But I just want to encourage you to saturate your mind and your spirit with the Word of God. When you read over those verses or whatever verses you choose, I can promise you if you read it with an open heart and a humbled heart and a heart of priority, God will speak to you about how to be an influence in other people's lives. If you don't take time to, and you're pretty well self-sufficient and self-centered, don't think that God's going to use you to reach somebody for Jesus, because that probably will not happen. But if your heart is humbled, God can use that spirit inside of you to touch somebody. And I just want to encourage you to keep praying about that. Pray that God will use you in whatever circle of influence you have. If your heart's right, if your heart is holy, if you're circumcised on the inside, I know that God can use you. And I'm praying for that for our church. Let's keep praying about that. Let's keep praying for each other. Thank you for those who are praying for us and your encouragement. And I know some of your stories. Some of you, I know what you're trying to do, and that's great. Some are going to be successful and some are not going to be. You know, maybe three of my neighbors will come, and maybe 20 will come, and maybe none will come. I don't know, but I'm doing my best. And I encourage you to do your best. Find a way to reach out to people and show them the love of Jesus. Blessed are the feet of those that bring good news. That really is deep in my spirit. The scripture, blessed are the feet of those that bring good news. Thank you for being here today. And we'll continue to pray that God will use us in the days ahead. God bless. Have a great day, great afternoon. God bless.